Hello and welcome to another What Comes Naturally with Jim Stevenson, Senior Ranger at Paxton Pits Nature Reserve. It's hay time and you probably hear the tractor in the background cutting the hay right now. My first memory, almost my first memory, would be in the early 50s sitting on the back of a horse called Robin, and the horse was pulling a sled, a wooden sled, on a steep-sided hill in the Yorkshire Dales. And while it was doing that, people were pitchforking the hay onto the back of the sled. This hay had probably been cut mostly with a scythe, especially on the steeper corners, and maybe with an Allen scythe. And then we would drag the sled to a barn, and with long-handle pitchforks, pitchfork the hay into the loft, loose, no baling or anything like that, so that it could be fed to the cows in the winter. And that's what all those stone byres are for up in the Pennines. Now, down here it's quite different, and we're much more mechanised now. I can remember a few years later sitting on a Ferguson tractor. My feet wouldn't reach the pedals, but I could move the throttle and go at walking pace. But again, that same wooden sled was right behind the tractor, and the pitchforks and everything was exactly the same. Much later that baling came in. My associate Matt is busy cutting now, with a little cutter on the back of a tractor, and working around the field, just cutting the hay, and we're leaving some quite big swathes. We're leaving all the edges of the field so that anything like the knapweed that's in front of me now and the later flowering plants get to seed. And then the part of the hay meadow that's been cut, mostly seeded anyway, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. So we're going round and round cutting the hay. Not the classic thing where you start at the outside of the field and work to the middle and end up with all the wildlife in the middle and then chop it up. So we've got some sort of funny patterns we're doing here. And we're leaving some isolated islands so that these beasties have got somewhere to go and hide. Why do we cut hay? Well, obviously, hay is a winter fodder for cattle. But as nature conservationists, why are we interested in that? Why do we even bother with it? We could just use a mower and cut it. Well, the answer is the haymaking process cuts the seeds down, the flowers down, and then lets them dry. It turns them over, so you need good weather for a few days. You turn it over every day, and as you move the hay around and shake it about, you shake the seeds out. And so that means that you get a flower-rich meadow. The other thing that this helps with, making it more flower-rich, is that it's nutrient stripping. It takes a lot of the plants away, like when you mow your lawn and take the trimmings away. So it encourages a better sward in the next year. If you let it build up and build up, you get lots of thistles and nettles and brambles and all that sort of thing. So you've got a flower-rich meadow that's managed by hay cutting late. We cut in mid-July. The tractor's getting very close now, so I'll just be quiet for a minute. Normally, when you cut hay, you want it to be nice and green still, because that's when it's got plenty of nutrition. So you want the flowers, usually will have seeded, most of them will have seeded, but the actual stems will still be quite green and plenty of nutrition. But in nature conservation, what we try to do is to cut later to give everything a chance to seed. So mid-July is what we set ourselves at. And of course you want a window in the weather, because you need 3 or 4 days of dry weather to get the stuff in. I remember going back to the Yorkshire Dales again, that much later, after I'd grown up, a lot of the wildflowers disappeared from the meadows because the farmers turned over to cutting silage, because you can get several crops in a year. You just cut it green and pack it wet into big plastic rollers. You've probably seen them all over the place. And then they're treated with salts. You put salts in the wrapper with them, like a big Swiss roll. And then you roll it out in the farmyard in the winter to feed the cattle. It stinks to high heaven, actually. But the cows still seem to like it. But it meant that you lost all the wildflowers from the meadows. A lot of these things are annual, and if they don't get to seed, they're not there the next year. This field here is full of knapweed at the moment, which is like a thistle-looking thing with purple tops. The butterflies, there's meadow browns, gatekeepers, skippers, small skippers and Essex skippers feeding on them right now, right by me. I'm crouched at the edge of the field. That's because this is quite late in the year and this is the time when this plant flowers. But earlier, if you've been here, it was a field of yellow buttercups. And there's a little wet streak that runs down the middle of the meadow where there's actually a pipeline underground. And that area has, I think, 6 different kinds of rush growing in it. And then in amongst all the buttercups, all sorts of other flowers that turn up in there as well. So it is really nice meadow. Now we know when it's time to cut traditionally because the yellow rattle, which you've probably seen in fields, is a little yellow pea-like flower that has round rattly pods, not long pods like peas. And when those rattle, the seeds are dry, and in the old times, the farmer would know that that was when it was time to cut the hay. But the other way to do it is to look at your buttercups, and when the seeds of the buttercups have all gone black rather than green, again, they're ready to harvest. You'd think it'd be quite a violent thing cutting the meadow like this for the animals there, and it must be a bit of a shock for the creatures there, but it's surprising what's still in there. And there is a pair of crows working the edge of the field now, looking for anything that's been chopped up or anything that's got lost its cover. The hay's laying in rows, because that's the way it's dropped by the cutter. And they're working along the row looking for wildlife. In the evening, at dusk this evening, there'll probably be a pair of foxes. There's a fox earth just to my right, and they'll be coming out tonight to come and have a poke around and see what they can find. And then later after them, the badgers will be out looking around to see what they can find. So it'd be quite an interesting evening down here. I remember going to a field like this in Germany just after they cut the hay, and there were red kite, black kite, and honey buzzard looking for wasps' nests across the field. In fact, there was a buzzard hovering over this one a minute ago. So you just never know what you're going to see. Red kites follow the tractor, just like gulls do. What are we going to do next? Well, we've cut it. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be turned over with one of those sun rakes, one of those spiky, with the big spiky wheels on it. We used to call them wooflers, I think. And they turn it over, shake it up in the air, and drop it all down again to dry it off. And then it'll be turned again the day after. And then it'll be raked up into rows again. And then it will be baled. And we use a small baler, usually, that comes along and chugs along those rows, picking up the hay, binding it up into bales that we can lift easily. Nowadays, it's more efficient to roll it up into one big round bale that you can lift with a forklift. I wouldn't fancy lifting that onto one of our trailers. What we'll do next is we'll let this grass grow back, and then we'll put cattle on in September, and they'll graze through till about Christmas. About 10 cattle, 10 friendly cattle without horns, because there's a public footpath through this field. And they'll be guest cattle belonging to a neighbour of ours. And then they'll come off at Christmas because they'll have finished eating everything that's worth eating. And if we leave them in too long, they trample the ground, make lots of holes in the ground, and then you get things like ragwort sprouting up there next year and lots of thistles. So we treat it gently. Hopefully, they'll also nosh into some of the long grasses around the side once they've all seeded. But they're a bit picky. Cows like to go for the nicest flavoured things. And for instance, they'll pick out all the meadow cranesbill. It's the first thing they'll eat. So hopefully that will have all seeded before the cows come in. In a year when the weather's bad and there's a shortage of hay, hay becomes really valuable. So you'd think we could make a bit of money out of this field. But actually, it costs a fair bit to manage it. And there's plenty of hay about this year, so I don't think we're going to make any money out of it. We tend to keep most of the hay for our own animals anyway. On top of that, we do get a grant. It's called a stewardship scheme, higher level stewardship scheme. And they come and inspect the field every year and make sure we're claiming for the right acreage of hay. And of course, from a wildlife point of view, I quite like a few brambles and bushes to creep in. And they came last year and measured us up and took some of the money away. Because I got less acreage of hay than before. So we do have to cut back into the edges a bit and keep it as a hay meadow. We're preserving a traditional landscape with all the traditional flowers that grow in those sort of meadows, and also all the insects, the crickets and the grasshoppers and the spiders and the butterflies, all of the things that live in there. This field's a bit small to attract skylark, but I used to have them in the old days, I bet. Things like corn buntings would have been in here, and that's something we'd like to attract back as well. When the harvest is over, the hay harvest is over, and the cows have been in, we get nice little cow pats across the meadow. And then when they turn into pancakes, then they're nice and crispy, the badgers come and flip them over and eat all the beetles and worms that are underneath them. And you can actually see where they've been flipped. But tonight they'll be in looking for bees nests and wasp nests. So that's the story of our hay cutting. And it really explains why we do it and also why we don't want people trampling through it and wrecking our hay crop, because you can't harvest if it's all been trampled on and somebody's played football in the field. It's really quite important. And this meadow that we're in now is not an old meadow. It was created after the gravel company had extracted the gravel. They'd made a meadow, and it's taken us all these years of haymaking, turning over and spreading the seed around to get the rich meadow that we have now that looks like something from, well, from 100 years ago. So thanks for listening, and I don't know what we'll be talking about next time, but I hope you'll join us again for another What Comes Naturally.